The sun will cease to shine, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the heavens. On that day, it's chaos. It's catastrophe. It's confusion. Jesus is talking about some things that have actually happened, or that will soon happen in his time, and soon, and happen just before the Gospels were written. That is, the second Jewish revolt against Rome. And the response of that revolt was that Rome came and destroyed the city of Jerusalem and destroyed the temple of God. Talk about disorienting. What does a good Jew do when there is no longer a temple? Where are we to look? Now, in a time of catastrophe like that, it looks like there's two options. One is just continue to live in chaos. The second is to just say, ah, shoot, Rome wins. We might as well just join up with them. And it's in that time, between those two no good choices, that the literature of apocalyptic rises. Apocalyptic, you know, y'all know that stuff from Revelation with all these wild and crazy images and visions and all of that stuff. It's not for scaring. It's for reorienting. It looks like we have two choices. Despair and just falling into place with Rome, with the powers of the world. And apocalyptic says there's a third way. And that third way is to resist despair and to resist the powers that be. To resist that force that says, you guys are out of control. I know how you gain control. It's peace through strength. It's peace through violence. It's all of the different things that the world offers us. It's peace through consumption. We're reading Revelation, and the main thing about Revelation is not that it's being written to people who are being persecuted. It's written to people who are being seduced into a different way of being. And so apocalyptic arises and says, nope, there's another way. In the midst of all of the chaos, which we've named, and that's, you know, the whole business of the sun not shining, the moon not shining, all of that chaos, there is a way through. Jesus says, after that suffering, the Son of Man will be seen coming on a cloud. After that suffering, perhaps even in the midst of that, look for Jesus. Look for the Son of Man to come. Be awake. Be aware. To see where we are being called to be oriented. There's chaos and confusion in all manner of places in these days. We have to look only first to the Middle East. So I was honored to listen on a Zoom conference with there was a guy who's in Gaza right now during all of this mess, and his name is Fadi, and he is a resistor. He is an activist. He's actively resisting all of the things that are going on. He and his wife are trying to raise three boys in Gaza. And you know how he's resisting? With art and music and celebration and an insistence on teaching his boys not to hate. Not to hate the people who are bombing their homes. That's the kind of resistance that apocalyptic calls for. A question was asked of him, what is the best possible result you can imagine out of this situation? And he said, well, Most people around here talk about a two-state solution. Palestine, Israel, together, sit next to each other. He says, I've never liked a two-state solution. I am holding out for one nation, Israelis and Palestinians living together. I want a solution where my children go to school with Israeli children and learn together and play together and learn to love each other. That's what I'm holding out for. That's resistance. Because he's in the middle of one nation forced with all of the violence that they can bring against another, and then he's also with people from his own country who are going back against Israel with more force, and it seems like it's one or the other, and he says, no, this is the choice that I pick. This is the choice that God is calling me to. That's the resistance that God wants me to enter into. What a witness in the midst of apocalyptic times. He's oriented. I heard a story the other day, another story. So, my sister Michelle has a daughter named Sarah, and Sarah and Jared have five kids, one of whom is severely autistic, and her name is Gracie. Now, there's all kinds of disorientation and disappointment when your kid doesn't start crawling when every other kid starts crawling. It doesn't start walking while every other kid is walking. And doesn't talk when other kids start talking. And in fact, in 14 years has never spoken. And there's all kinds of things that people want to give them. Advice like crazy. I've read this. I heard about this diet. I heard about this. I heard about that. And they tried them and tried them and tried them. And after a while, it was like, forget it. It's too much disappointment. It's too much sorrow to have to chase after all this stuff. And so it seemed like they were settling in to just having her be with them and dealing with her the best they can. Kind of knowing she's in there. You know? She's in there. But not knowing how to get to her. Not knowing how to get to her. Talk about despairing and then resigning. That's the choices, right? They resign. They love her. They're doing the best they can. So my sister, the grandmother, she's talking to somebody about this place down in San Diego. It's called the Spelling Center. And she loves this. She's heard of it. So she gets the book and reads about it. She understands, then she finds out there's a video about it. So she shows the video to her daughter Sarah, the one who has gotten this kind of stuff over and over and over again. And she watches it. And she says, oh my. And Gracie watches it. And there's excitement in her body. She can't say it, but she's excited about it. And there's another aunt, Gracie's aunt, who's in California, and she's in San Diego, and she's got an Airbnb, and she said, I want you all to come. She said, I'm going to be there. You bring her. Bring Gracie to this center. And so they do. They get in the car, they go to the airport. This is a girl who will not go through an unknown door. She makes it all the way through the airport. She walks down that runway, you know, the one that you go into before you get onto the plane. She gets all the way down to the plane. She sees that door and she can't go through it. She just can't. So they pack it up. They rearrange their tickets. They go back the next day. She gets right to the same place. She can't go through. So they call the center to tell them they're not coming. The beautiful woman there says, "You have to remember, it's not that she doesn't want to come. It's that she can't get her body through that door. She wants to come." So, the aunt in California calls and says, "You've got to put her in the car and drive her from Houston, Texas, to San Diego." So grandma and mom, they get in the car, they put Gracie in the car, off they go. And they get to this place. And they go, and it's 3 days, and Gracie, first day, they get there, and I can't really understand it exactly, but there's pads with letters on them. And these are not kids that can scan quickly. They have to take their time, and they actually have to move their body to get in line with the right letter, and it takes them a long time, and then they can select the letter. So it's letters. And my sister, Michelle, says, "What if she can't read? How do we know she can read?" And the woman says, "Don't worry, they can all read." So they read this story about astronauts. Why astronauts, I don't know. But it's not a story. It's more like a technical thing, like how. So they ask her these questions. And then she answers the first question. And the second question they ask is, why do astronauts have to get strapped to the toilet when they go to the bathroom? And the answer is, she types it out and spells it correctly: hygiene. To which my son Sam said, "What, hors d'oeuvres wasn't available?" Hard letters, hard words to spell, right? And she spelled it. And she looks up at her mom and her grandmother. "I'm in here." Isn't that something? So for 3 days, my sister Michelle and my niece Sarah did nothing but cry. Enjoy. And this kid, spelling out, she's in there. So the last day, Sarah goes up to her, to the woman and says, my husband wasn't able to get here, wasn't here. Do you think you could get her to spell his name?" So his name is Jared. Sure. So they put the pad up there. I don't know how it is, but there's only limited letters. But anyway, there's a J there. And she's like, and she's hesitating, and she hasn't hesitated on any of them. She's like, bang, bang, bang. Now she's hesitating, and try it again. It's her dad's name. Nope. She's not, Dawn's on my sister. Put the pad on there that has a D on it. D-A-D. Out of this incredible, horrible struggle that these parents had, right? The Son of Man shows up and reveals to them their daughter and gives her this incredible avenue for being revealed. This is God's work. This is what we have to look for in this world where people are hiding and people are hidden and people are just not able to come out. Here, this is God's work. We look for this. This is what Advent is for. This is just a foretaste of what that beautiful heaven coming to earth is like. Beautiful. And then there is the disorientation of little Zeke Matthews, who died this last week. Horrible. Meningitis. Quick. Horrible death. I mean, just horribly sudden is what I mean. And the family and all of the whole community feels like it's had a gut punch. Right? And we really are all wandering around like, oh my gosh, what? How in the world can that be? And kind of, you can just see people clinging to their kids stronger and more tightly than before. It is just scary. And and there we are. The whole community is sort of feeling disoriented. Even in that, we are called to not hide ourselves. Because the seduction is, and that we have to resist, is we are going to separate ourselves from that. Right? Sadness, that kind of suffering, we will back off. We will be at arm's length. We will make all kinds of excuses and reasons why it happened and why it's not going to happen to us. And all of those things are just ways of hiding ourselves from their suffering. And from the suffering of the world. Resist it. Resist that. Move towards it. Because that's where Jesus is going to be revealed for us. That's where Jesus already is. And already, in an incredible generosity, resistance, I don't know what else to call it, the parents allowing him to be a donor of organs to other kids is already a sign, isn't it? It's already a sign that death does not have the last. I'm sorry, I can't remember her name. I should have looked it up. But she was at Holden Village when I was up there. And one of the things she said that struck me so beautifully was, we know that death does not have the last word. We know that death does not destroy love. Because if it did, our love for our loved ones when they died would go with them into the grave. And that would be the end of it. But grief is a sign that love survives. Death does not destroy love. Wow. So, we pray for the Matthews family. And we pray for the courage to move towards that kind of death. Always realizing that Jesus is already moving there and will meet us in it. And realize that God is transforming us little by little. Keep awake. Watch. Pray. Be open. Welcome to Advent.